This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 576 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Total Saddle Fit, and Surefoot Equine Stability Program. On today's show, Andrea Waldo returns to discuss staying positive through challenging times. And then we'll have Wendy Murdoch to give us an update on what's new with her. And for the trainer tip, we discuss pole work with Jack Ballou.
This is Reese Coffler Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
And this is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. And you know who showed up today?
Yes!
The big boss, Glenn.
The big boss!
I came out of hiding just to see you guys.
It's a bit late. Our anniversary was like a month ago.
Happy anniversary!
Anniversary.
I don't know. Does 2020 count at all for anything? Are we counting birthdays, anniversaries?
We'll just wipe it off. Yeah. Okay. Fair. You get a pass this year.
Or do we all have to take an extra year because it's age does? I'm not sure which.
We don't want to talk about it. But we're really glad you're here and hanging out with us on Thursday night. We enjoy it when you come. It's been a long time, sir.
It has, and you've been having a very nice British producer. So
we've enjoyed our British.
He's doing a pretty good job.
But I wanted to see you guys, so I actually scheduled myself in tonight so we could hang out a little. I do have some announcements for everybody if you want to hear them.
We do. What's up?
We have a couple new shows on the Horse Radio Network. One called Rein in Your Herd, which is a couple of business experts, April and Laura. And what that's geared toward is how to run your horse businesses to make more money. And no matter what kind of horse business you have, they talk about social media advertising, marketing, all those kinds of things. So it's really a business podcast. So if you have a farm or you have any kind of horse business at all, even if you're a breeder or whatever you are, that podcast would definitely help you. It's on the Horse Radio Network now. It's on our app. It's also on the website. Or you can just find it on your podcast player. It's called Rein in Your Herd. The other one, you know her, Helena B., who was my first co-host 12 years ago on Stable Scoop, has a show called Stall and Stable, and that's all about running your barn, actual physical barn, you know, and farm. So she talks about things like arenas and barn and airflow and all of those kind of things that are involved in running your barn and your stable. So that's called Stall and Stable. And that's been around a little while, and it's now on the Horse Radio Network. You can find it, again, where most podcasts are found. Just search for Stall and Stable, and you'll find Helena's show over there, and we'd love you to try that one out as well. So we're very excited to have those two joining the Horse Radio Network. And then one other thing is that I want to thank everybody from the Dressage Show who's become an auditor. We've had more auditors signing up. When COVID first started, and our auditors are kind of our super fans, the people who will donate a certain amount every month, starting at $3 to $25 a month to become part of the auditor group, to get in the super secret Facebook group, to get extra content that we do for auditors. We thought that those would drop during when COVID started, and we've actually increased it almost 20%. So thank you to all
Fantastic.
Of you.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Thank you from all of us.
And what's been amazing too is I thought that, you know, with people losing jobs and all of that, but what has happened is we've got a whole bunch of new auditors that have joined, but we also have a lot of our auditors have bumped their pledges every month. So maybe they were paying $3 and now they're paying $10. We've had some bump from $10 to $25 a month. So thank you to everybody who's done that. We really appreciate Reese and Philip get a piece of that every month.
They appreciate the raise.
If you want to become an auditor, go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down the right side of the page, you'll see an auditor banner, and click on that, and you too, for as little as $3 a month, can join the party. And one of the biggest things you get, beside the extra content, they have their own feed for certain episodes and things, is you get to be part of the auditor room on Facebook, and it's probably one of the most active Facebook groups and positive Facebook groups out there. You guys are in there. You know what it's like.
Oh, it's great.
It gets too crazy for me. I can't keep up. But it's really fun, and we do the book giveaway in the auditor group, in the auditor room. So I just posted about the new book, the Brain Training for Writers, that we're doing coming up. So it's great. We try to interact as best we can, but it's overwhelming.
We have one.
It's fantastic. People get married. I mean, it's so fun to go in there and see what's going on. It's really cool. I really enjoy it.
They talk
it,
about so. Everything. It's because it really is a family in there. About 500 really cool. people that you actually like. So it's not like a family. We do one special show I'll mention in there every month. Helena and I, we just talk about Helena. Helena and I and Nikki, who's a trained therapist and one of our listeners, do a show. And we talk about not horse training stuff, but life stuff, marriage, divorce, relationships. And we call it the WTF advice show because it is not safe for work or children. And we just have a lot of fun with that. We do that once a month, and that's especially for auditors. So there's some different stuff in there for everybody.
Yeah, for everybody. It's fantastic. Well, what cool stuff going on in the network. I can't wait to listen to the business podcast because we all run businesses. So
they're very good. Those two are very good. So yeah, it's a good show.
That's going to be my tomorrow while riding show. I love it.
There you go.
Well, fantastic. Well, thanks, Glenn, for all of that. And we're going to come back with another really, really helpful interview from Andrea Waldo. Well, we are so happy to have our book club author, Andrea Waldo. She's the author of Brain Training for Riders. We have asked her to stay on for a special COVID section. Andrea, thanks for staying on and doing another segment with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, we were doing a great interview, and I hope everyone listens and reads and or listens to your audiobook. But I was also leafing through the website, and you've got a nice article on sort of COVID and anxiety, and we just wanted to snag you for that because certainly if you're in America, we're not heading in the right direction, and I think we're all very anxious. So can you kind of get us started and take it away?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the word for 2020 is unprecedented, you know, like everything that we're going through right now, we haven't dealt with any of this before. And, you know, basically, the universe took us and shook us upside down like a snow globe, and we're trying to figure out how to put our worlds back together. You know, everything, you know, we've got the first world problems of having our horse shows canceled, and then we've got the real stuff of people being sick and all of us feeling kind of like we're all pitted against each other. And the article that I wrote on my website came out of a Facebook thread that got pretty testy where, you know, one person was saying that how they were struggling with their kids and they were really having a hard time with the whole homeschooling thing and everything. And then somebody else was like, well, you know, we should appreciate this time and we should be loving this time with our children, and it should be wonderful that we get to do all of this. And it got pretty heated and it got pretty defensive. And, you know, what I was thinking was like, we all need to sort of take a step back and realize that what we're all going through is actually really scary. You know, this is a very real threat. It's something that is, you know, it's something that none of us have ever dealt with before. We don't know what's happening, new stuff coming out every day. And so we're all walking around regardless of what we think about the virus or what our personal experience has been with it, the world is marinating in a serious level of anxiety right now. And you can't not breathe that in. No pun intended as far as the mask reference, but you know, it's like, you know, this invisible thing is flying around us, and we've got this heightened level of world level anxiety. And it really does impact us, and it impacts everybody in really different ways. And that was sort of where I was going when I watched this interaction on Facebook that, I think it's really important to recognize that wherever you are with this at any given moment, like, it's okay to just be where you are. You know, it's okay to be really frustrated that you're cooped up. It's okay to be feeling like, oh my God, I don't ever want to see my children again as long as I live. Like, I just don't want to do this parent thing anymore. Or, you know, I'm feeling really lonely, or I love this because I'm not a people person anyway, and I could stay in my house forever. And or I'm really figuring some cool things out and I'm trying some new stuff. And you might feel all of those things in like a 12-hour period. You know, we can be on this real roller coaster ride. And so I think it's just, it can be really helpful for all of us to just pause and sort of recognize where we are at any given moment. And also recognize that other people can be in a really different place than we are. And some of those people might be close to us, or they might be, you know, they might just be sort of faces in the crowd. But everybody's kind of doing the best we can with what we've got most of the time. And just kind of cutting ourselves and each other a little slack about that, I think is a really, just a really important thing to do. The other thing that I've been thinking over the last couple of weeks, especially as things are kind of ramping back up again and things are looking a little grim, a lot of people are like, well, you know, I don't have any right to complain because so-and-so has it much worse, or, you know, at least I don't live in New York City right in the middle of the pandemic. And, oh, you know, I may have lost somebody, but like other people have lost more than I have. The thing is, it's not the loss Olympics. Like there's no, however, whatever it is that you've lost and that you're grieving, it's okay to feel that grief regardless of whether somebody else has it worse. And I think recognizing that grief really is a lot of what we've been going through. You know, we've lost our normalcy. We've lost our jobs. We've lost people that we love and care about. And so on top of that anxiety, we've got this level of grief that's going on. And if you don't allow those feelings to exist, if you try to stuff them away somewhere and tell yourself you shouldn't feel them, they actually go underground and they start either getting stronger or they leak out in really funny directions, which is why you'll see a lot of really angry people. Because they're stuffing down their frustration or their fear, you know, their fear of their economic situation, their fear of getting sick, or their grief at having lost someone. And it goes sideways and turns into anger, or it turns into defensiveness. And so just kind of taking a big collective breath and realizing like, we have to kind of let ourselves go through those experiences and not try to, you know, put a positive spin on everything all at once. If you don't go through the difficult experience, then the positive spin just becomes sort of this Susie Sunshine kind of crap that your brain's not going to believe anyway. So yeah, so that's sort of where I was going with that, with the whole thing with COVID, because I think it's something that we're all going through collectively, and nobody knows, none of us know how to process it. None of us have ever done this before. We are all floundering in the dark.
So, Andrea, I just was going to ask you, in your, you know, you are an educated psychotherapist and you went to school for a long time, I'm sure, to become that. Was there any, you know, in your education, where you talked on, you know, like these levels of anxiety or these problems on such a mass scale? I mean, the whole world is going through it, but I mean, even just in a local community, because I just feel like whenever I go somewhere, like whether it's to shop for groceries, it's just so much bombardment of negative energy of people, you know, wanting to keep their 6 feet distance. And you mm-hmm. know, like you said, some people angry, and, you know, like, is there something you can draw on from your educational experience that sort of people looked at it on such a large scale and how that affects people?
Ooh. I don't know that we've, at least in our lifetimes, for most of us anyway, I don't think the world has gone through it quite so collectively before. I know that I've read stories of situations like, you know, I remember reading something about the war in Cambodia and how the survivors of that who came here as refugees would get together in groups. And one of the things that really helped them to get through it wasn't even so much, like, they would talk about the experiences and they would talk about the genocide and the horrible things that had happened. But then they also talked about really practical stuff, like, how do you get to the grocery store? How do you find someone who speaks English well enough that you can get, you know, get the things that you need because you don't speak English yet? Where do I find an English speaking class? Those kinds of things. So they kind of got down So they were sharing the experience of the trauma, but they were also sharing this experience of really putting their lives back together on a very granular level, on a very practical day-by-day level. And I think, you know, what's cool about watching how we're all doing this is that there are a lot of examples of that here now. You know, there's a lot of examples of people going out in the community and making sure everybody has enough to eat. You know, there's a little pantry, you know, there's a little free pantry down the street from me at the local church that, you know, that people just drop in and drop food off so that anybody can go up and get it. And you know, there are lots of stories like that. And I think that those kinds of things are, we kind of have to seek them out. You know, I think it really helps to, you know, when you're talking about, you know, your newsfeed or what you watch on TV, like picking out the stuff that's showing us the better side of humanity too, because it's really easy to get stuck in the grim and see how we're all opposed to each other. And I think we have to actively seek out the stories of how we're also reaching out to help each other. Because that kind of thing, that hope is really important. I think that's super important.
Andrea, I'm really glad you said that, because I was thinking about a similar thing in the genocide that happened in Rwanda. It's awful, it's grim, but I was able to, I think it was last year, visit the Genocide Museum. And you think, oh, why do they have a museum about all these awful things that happened? It's a horrible time in history. But what they were really trying to do was focus on what's good and how they're putting it all back together. And I think that's what we have to kind of do, you know, move forward in a positive way and think of just like you said, all of the good things that we can do ourselves and that we can encourage other people to do too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think including the whole experience is really important. Like, I think as Americans, especially, we in this country have a tendency to, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and think positive, damn it.
And we want to
skip really fast over the hard stuff, and that's not going to work with this. I mean, first of all, the hard stuff is still happening and we're still going through it. The only way that those positive experiences are gonna lift us is if we allow ourselves to also acknowledge just how freaking hard this whole thing has been. Even when you have all the first world luxuries that we have, and we're, you know, for those of us who are able to stay home and we were able to, you know, shelter in place and not have to be out there in the middle of it every single day, it's still hard. And acknowledging the hard and then kind of, you know, trying to figure out how we can help each other as a community and support each other as a community as we go forward, I think is super important. I think one of the wonderful things about the horse world is we do have that sense of community a lot of the time. And so, you know, tapping into that and using that to kind of, you know, help each other along as we try to, you know, get back to some semblance of normal here at some point. And help each other reimagine what the heck this sport's going to look like when we're all done with all of this. And then we can, you know, try to move forward in that way. Right. And just acknowledging that, like, yeah, we also, this is really hard and we have a lot to be grateful for at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that we can all go out and ride our horses and get to the barn and it's you know, hopefully been provided a safe or can provide a safe environment. You know, I think it's been a real godsend for all of us. So I can't imagine other sports and other trainers and professionals and other sports that they can't do that. So,
yeah,
but Andrew, we can't thank you enough. We've stolen a lot of your time tonight, but can you just tell us about the book real quick, our book club book for this month, and how our readers can and listeners can get it, and how they can find your information.
Sure. Yeah. It's called Brain Training for Riders. And it's basically a manual on how your brain handles stress and how to tap into the way that it works and work with it rather than against it to help you deal with anxiety, with fear, with show nerves, with frustration, how to recover emotionally when you've had a really bad fall or a really scary experience. And it talks a little bit too about how to know if you're riding the right horse for who you are at this moment in your life. And you can get that at horseandriderbooks.com, which is Trafalgar Square's website. And you can also get it on places like Amazon and everything, but I really encourage people to get it from Horse and Rider Books because they're a small publishing house in Vermont and they're awesome and trying to direct as much energy towards small business as possible right now.
And they're great to our show.
And they're great to your show. Yeah, they're fantastic people. They're so great. I love them. They're wonderful.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that's where you can get the book. And my website is stresslessriding.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time and all your words of wisdom. And we will be in touch soon, I'm sure. Well, we're going to have a quick break with Kentucky Performance Products. And as always, we can't thank them enough for all the love they give our show and their fantastic products. It's so hot right now. So I recommend all their products, but I really recommend the Summer Games electrolytes right now. So you'll get some more information on the commercial break.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Electrolytes. Who needs them? Your horse, that's who. Electrolytes perform critical functions within your horse's body. They help regulate nerve and muscle functions by carrying electrical impulses between cells. In addition, electrolytes assist the body in maintaining a healthy fluid balance by controlling your horse's desire to drink. When your horse loses significant amounts of electrolytes and fluids, problems such as dehydration, muscle cramping, fatigue, tying up, and colic may occur. Even in mild forms, these conditions can have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Top riders and veterinarians turn to Summer Games Electrolyte to keep their horse healthy in hot weather, and you can too. Summer Games replenishes the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when your horse sweats, and it stimulates the thirst response so your horse continues to drink and stay properly hydrated. So when the going gets hot, trust Summer Games Electrolyte from Kentucky Performance Products to protect your horse.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have one of our favorite segments on, Wendy Murdoch of the Murdoch Method. Wendy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. It's such a pleasure to chat with you guys. I always look forward to my little talks with you.
We love it. It takes us forever to get on because we're like, what'd you do this month? What'd you do this month? Like, it takes us forever. Yeah, like,
our producers. Like a catch-up session. Yeah.
Our producers are like, come on, guys, let's get this on air. So we love it. Well, welcome back. And it seems like you were just on, but it's been a month. As timing goes, I'm sure everyone feels that way. It's a little strange right now, but we're always happy to have you.
Yeah, it's a thrill. And you're actually going to be one of my guests on my webinars coming up. I think it's in August, right, Reese?
I know. Well, we haven't set a date, but I will come on whenever you need. Looking forward to it. And so you've taken a little break from the webinars, right? But can you tell everybody what you've been up to this summer?
Well, because of COVID, I sat down and started doing these webinars. And I honestly had no idea what was going to happen because I was just like, there's some people I wanted to talk to. And I thought I could do it in like a webinar and talk to them. And it's just really taken off and people are so excited about the information. So I needed a little break because I was starting to make some mistakes on the schedule. So we're going to pick it back up again, July 27th. And I have Lucinda Barker. She does ethology. And I've always been a little confused about what that word means. It's like the behavior of the horse. So I'm really excited to talk to her. And then I have Laura Harmon. Oh, we're going to have someone talk about working equitation. So I want to do some fun things. Like I have Marie McAteer and she's going to do working equitation. And then I have Annie Parsons, who's been doing mounted archery. So I figured,
how cool.
Yeah, we should do some fun webinars too, right?
I love it.
And so that's great. And then, of course, I'm still trying to reschedule Bob Bowker, who had that terrible storm and lost power and everything else. But he's out there in the wings. We just have to, lasso him back in and get a date. Because his webinar has been the most popular one. It's been really popular.
Well, now I'm nervous. Now I'm nervous.
Oh, no, don't be nervous. It's really fun. You know, and I love to get a little background on people because I think it's important to kind of know how we get where we are, right? Instead of just diving into the material. But so that's, I'm looking forward to starting the webinars up again. And so many people have told me that they are listening to them that I decided to dive into a podcast. So I'm just getting that set up now. But that way people can listen to the audio from the webinars. And so I thought that would just be another way. Because I have people telling me, oh, I'm driving my car, but I'm listening to your webinars. I'm like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, please don't do that. Don't do that. No, I understand. Like we've talked about on the show, I've actually started becoming a podcaster, like listening to podcasts. I've been a podcaster a long time now, but I listen to them and they're fantastic. Now I realize why everyone listens. So I love it. We love our listeners. Well, I've got a story to tell you guys because Wendy has been part of the project of my Big My horse, the Follow Me horse. And if everyone's been on the show, this is a horse I've had for 4 years and he's turning eight. Well, he's eight now and looks like he will make the national championships. We're waiting for the actual invitation. So he's awesome. Really coming along. Yeah, really, really fun. But he's been a horse that the Surefoot pads have really helped because he's always had some proprioception issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually how we
met with you with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
At your place.
At my place. And we worked together in Florida. So you've seen him a couple times. But I can tell you they're working because poor guy the other day, he was a little long. He got his feet done today, but he tripped. And it was one of those trips where if he didn't get his footing, we were going to flip over. And I mean, it was really bad. We like really tripped, but I will tell you, he was so much, more sure-footed, if that's the right word to use. Like I could tell, like he could figure out really quickly what to do with his feet, thankfully, because that would have been, that's a very large horse falling down. But I was like, I can't wait to tell Wendy. So I figured I would tell you on air because
That's awesome. So he was able to recover more quickly, even though he tripped.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Big trip, like fall down onto his legs, like fell down. Ooh. He was fine. Everything was fine. But I will tell you, I do know he was able to recover quicker because we've been working on our pads. So that was pretty cool. I was like, wow, who knew?
Yeah, nice. Really. That was fun. Yeah.
Good stuff.
And, yeah, it's so interesting. And that's the thing about, you know, we take so for granted that horses know where their feet are. And that was one of the things that, you know, before I started doing Surefoot, it was like, of course horses know where their feet are, but actually maybe not. Yeah. You know, and that's what it's all about, is helping the horses become more grounded and balanced. And so they can perform better, right? Whatever their job is, whether it's endurance or dressage or hunters, whatever their job is, to carry us well, they have to be really grounded so that they can stabilize themselves and use the ground to jump or push forward and pee off passage, whatever. You know, so I don't know if you've ever talked to Dr. Clayton, Hillary Clayton, because she talks about ground reaction force. So ground reaction force is that gravity is pulling us to the center of the earth, but the earth is pushing back up on us, which is how we stand. And when you add an impulse, you get more bounce off the ground. But it all is in timing, right? So if you've ever tried to like jump off the ground, but you kind of made a mistake and you're like, oh, I can't get off the ground. But if you hit it just right, you're light and bouncy. And so for our dressage horses, we really need them to use the ground efficiently and to really find that ground reactive force that creates spring and loft. And so I think that's one of the things that Surefoot can help with.
You're fantastic. It's true. Yeah, I think it's
that's
really,
really
cool.
Interesting. I was just sort of mentally processing that and just thinking about, you know, myself, you know, how you can propel yourself across the ground and relating that to how a horse does that. I mean, with us, we sort of can get better at it and we have a different shoes we can wear. And we have, you know, different things mm-hmm. that we're putting between ourselves on the ground that can help with that. And so, you know, with Surefoot pads and their different densities and how does that work and how does that help the horse to learn how to propel themselves better.
Right. And that's one of the reasons we have the variety of densities that we have. Like I typically would never start a horse on a medium because it's really, really springy. So you typically start with hard or firm, but when you get to medium, it's very springy. And so when the horses come off of that pad, you can feel that loftiness, that lightness, that bounce. And that's the pad. The purple one is the one the people love the best. They're always like, can I stand on your purple pad?
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of why we came up, you know, sometimes people get a little overwhelmed with the number of different pads that we have in the system, but they each have a specific purpose. And so, you know, I've thought I could make this simpler if I took one out. And then I think, well, which one would I take out? They each have a function. And so they're all there. And I know that sometimes that's hard for people, you know, probably number one question that I get is, which pad should I get? You know, and so the simple rule of thumb is if your horse is anxious, nervous, weak, recovering from injuries, you go with hard. If your horse is basically calm, you start with firm. But then you can, once the horse is used to it, then you can go on to the different densities and mix and match them to bring that awareness into each foot so that the horse really pays attention to what that foot's doing when it hits the ground and how he can use that foot really efficiently.
What about the spiky ball?
Oh, the little pods, you know,
the pods. So
what are those? I don't know if said pods.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't. Oh,
no.
So they're 7-inch diameter half ball. So think half ball, and they have little nubbies on them and they're air filled. And so all the other pads give, whereas these pods are air filled. So they increase in pressure and, you know, they're the most interesting thing. A horse has to be really ready for them. Like I don't just, you know, run up and put a pod
on it. This is expert level.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It is. I call it advanced because you have to be able to target the foot. But one of the things I love about the pods is you can see how the horse is habitually loading his foot. So when you put him on a pod, the foot might slide. You might see a toe load and the other one might slide to a heel load. And so you get this high-low situation that farriers are always trying to deal with. You can make the horse aware of that. And as you walk them off and come back and put them on the pods again, you can literally watch them change and find what I call a straight load, where they line up the whole column of the bones and they stand really square right in the center of the pod. And it's fascinating. I had one horse, it was actually Greg Best's client. And this is several years ago now at Equine Affair in Massachusetts. And that horse had broken its jaw. And so Greg told her to get to me at that demo that I was doing. And I worked with the pads, but this horse was so quick to pick up on what we were doing. So I went to the pods in her front feet and the owner cried because she got her horse again. I mean, it just totally shifted that horse from the foot right up through the jaw. And it was so amazing to watch that happen.
Wow. Wow. No, it's such a cool, you really have to play with them and work with them and it takes some time. And I really enjoy, I mean, that's part of the process, right? Is enjoying spending some different time with your horse.
That's
I really, really enjoy that about the whole process.
Yeah. It does take a bit to wrap your brain around it. I mean, I'm the first one to admit that because, you know, it's like you walk up with this, you know, foam pad and you're going to put this under the horse's foot and the horse is going to change. And people look at you like, are you kidding? But when they feel the effect, and that's why, you know, if I have someone who's on their horse and the horse is calm enough, I'll put the pads underneath their feet with the rider on because the rider then feels all the little subtle nuances of the horse shifting his balance. And what's even more cool is when they walk off, you can literally feel them thinking about where they're putting their foot on the ground. It's like they look, you know, mentally look at their foot and then look at where it's placed on the ground. And so it's really making them conscious of their feet and how they're landing. But I agree, you know, it's the weirdest thing on the planet when somebody says, I've got to put these foam pads under your horse's feet. He's going to totally change. I mean, I'm the first.
Yeah.
Which is actually why I've done all the webinars, because I've been trying to come up with how these work, an explanation of how these work. And so with the webinars, I just started interviewing my friends and saying, you know, like, what, you know, tell me about your expertise, whether that's fascia, whether that's, you know, as a farrier or trimmer, or whether that's, you know, a rehab specialist or like Felicitas as a trainer, and have them tell me how they think they're working. Because in the end, I think everybody's correct that it's hitting all these different systems. You have your myofascial system for sure. And then your meridians, your acupuncture meridians, and then, you know, your, all your proprioceptors that are in the foot. And so, you know, it's really hitting all these critical systems that create a feedback loop so that the horse becomes more and more aware of his own body and his own stance. And I kind of think, you know, like we go through life, you just walk and you go and you do your job and everything else. And you don't think about how you're sitting or standing a lot of times. And so you know, when someone walks along and says, hey, did you know you were limping? And you're like, what do you mean I'm limping? Yeah, you know, you're limping. And then you stand on a foam pad and you can start to feel that your weight is all on one foot, or you can feel, oh, my weight's all in my heels, or I can feel, wow, I'm standing to the outside. It's that conscious acknowledgement or recognition of the habits, and then having another opportunity, a choice to change. And that's really what Surefoot does, is it gives these horses an opportunity to experience themselves and provide them with a way to change. And I just, you know, it's just...
That's a great explanation. Yeah. That's a great explanation.
It's so fascinating. And I watch people like at first kind of like, oh, yeah. And then pretty soon it's like, something will happen and they'll be like all in, right? But what's really cool now is that I have, in fact, I have one person in Colorado. She's working in tandem with a vet who she does all the Surefoot work with the horses in rehab. So the vet will send her out, work with the client's horses. And she trains the clients. And, you know, because this can also be like an ongoing process to help rehab horses. Clearly, you need a good diagnosis and you need to know what you're dealing with, because you know, if you have a tendon problem, you don't want to make that worse. But that's where, you know, working as a team, having your farrier, your vet, and then your Surefoot person to create a plan to help restore that horse back to good function.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. Well, Wendy, how can our guests and listeners find you online to get more information?
So I have my new Surefoot Equine website. It's surefootequine.com. And all the webinars, if you go under media, all the webinars are up there, and you can search, you know, if you want to search for Joyce Harmon or search for Sharon Wellesley, you can search. And then, of course, my MurdochMethod.com website is where the store is. So the Surefoot Equine is an international website now, and we're bringing it into different languages. Pretty soon we're going to have German, Dutch, French, and Spanish. And so it's like the information side. And then you can find the resellers, the international resellers, on that website. You just have to go to their store to buy some pads if you want to buy some pads. But and then, of course, my YouTube channel is Surefoot Equine. And if you subscribe, you'll get notices when we put up another webinar. I'm really excited to get back to doing those. And I've got a great lineup. I've got August pretty much set up, and we'll just keep rolling with them, because I'm just having too much fun with the webinars, I have to be honest.
That's the best. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for coming on. As always, we love it. And if anybody has any questions, Wendy's the best, and she can answer them for you. Thank you, Wendy. Yep.
Thanks. It's great to talk to you guys.
Well, Phil, it is so cute, because I had a great listener email me about the Total Saddle Fit stability stirrup leathers, and she was so excited about them. And she said, I can't believe it. They really work. They really help my legs stay more stable.
She was shocked that you guys were right.
She was shocked. It was so cute. And it really made me smile. And it's really true. We actually, one of the things that we do is that we try all the products we have on our show. And if we don't like them, they don't make it onto the show. So that is really a real thing, that Phil and I try these products. We love the stability stirrup leathers and all of the products from Total Saddle Fit. Don't we, Phil?
I think that's true of all of the sponsors on the Horse Radio Network, and mm-hmm. Glenn is here, so he can tell you that he makes sure that we are only gonna promote products that we believe in, and that's part of the mantra, the Horse Radio Network mantra. So we thank him for setting that as a standard for our show and all the shows, and it turns out it works pretty good.
Yeah, it does. And those are fantastic stirrup leathers. We're really, really, there's the original and then there's the slim version. And you have to kind of decide which one's better for you. I personally like the original one better. I don't mind the buckle under my leg. But for my clients, some of my clients that, you know, they like the buckle lower. So I think it just depends on what you like.
We just had an auditor, speaking of auditors, post this unsolicited endorsement. The Total Saddle Fit shoulder relief girth, which we've talked many times about on this show, improved my ride tremendously. I noticed that my mare held her suppleness much easier during the first ride. Then last night, my instructor said she's really swinging her front legs forward much better. I can feel the difference, and my instructor can see it.
Yes.
We get so many testimonies like that, even just in person or with our own clients, and what we can notice with, you know, horses moving better, riders riding better. So it's worth checking them out at www.totalsaddlefit.com.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have one of my favorite guests and someone that I use her resources all the time, author of 55 Corrective Exercises for Horses, Jacque Belew. Jacque, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be back and talking with you guys. And I'm excited that you are interested in the topic of ground poles and Cavalettis and getting some dressage people using this really important tool for training.
Well, I love it. And especially right now, I think, you know, we're all in different states of the union or states of, are we showing? Are we not? Are we, what are we doing? And so, you know, to have some good ideas, because a lot of people maybe are just at their barn and they're riding and they're enjoying their horse. So I think these are fantastic. So get us started on ground pole and Cavalletti exercises.
So the first tip that I give people is, because I'm going to assume that most of your listeners have at some point ridden their horse across ground poles, probably trot Cavalletti. And we've all felt the difference. Like your horse just suddenly feels more athletic. He's just more powerful. He lifts his back. I mean, it's incredible. But often when you have to go set up the Cavalletti patterns on your own, you tend not to, because it can be a pain in the butt, honestly, if you're using like big jump poles, because they're so heavy. So my first tip is go get some 4x4 landscaping timbers, because they're very easy to move around. And you're going to be more inclined to set up the exercises. And you can get them at any hardware store like Home Depot or someplace like that. And that's all you need for our purposes. We're not talking about jumping stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then I always tell people, find an exercise that you like for you and your horse in all three gaits, walk, trot, and canter. And then spend time on that exercise, you know, one day a week with each gait, over the period of like 3 weeks, and try to build on it. So build a couple of repetitions each week, and or raising the height of the Cavalletti. So when you first start working with them, I usually leave them on the ground for walk, trot, and canter for like 1 week till the horse is staying in a good rhythm and they're not like flinging their head up in the air when you ride over the poles and that sort of thing. Then the next week I start to add some repetition. So if I started with 10 reps, I'll bump it up to like 15 or 20 reps. And then the third week I would raise the poles, you know, maybe 6 inches off the ground and do the same exercises. And then I would move on to a new batch of exercises. So, and that's where you really start to feel the whole purpose of them. But I was curious how you and Phil might kind of use ground poles in your own training.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I love ground poles, but I kind of fall into sometimes I just don't pull them out. So I feel that I have them. And sometimes,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I don't pull them out. My assistant's really good at pulling them out and setting them up. And so I'm always like, oh, cool. Thank you. I'm so glad you did that. So, and I really like them. I also, the tip I have, and I got this at one of the teacher for training events we did over the winter, is you can get from IKEA. I'm sure there's other places, but they're little squatty potties where you can put the pole. Yes. Those are so great. They're $4.99 from IKEA, and you can raise your poles. So
what
we kind of
talking about.
Yes, Philip. Do you not know of this?
What are you talking about?
We'll have to put it on the Facebook or on the page. But you can literally get squatty potty. Like, you know what little kids use? I don't have kids, but I don't know what they're called other than squatty potties.
Yeah, like a little step.
Yeah. No, no, they actually, there's a little,
I think it's actually
dish.
A potty.
Yeah, I think it's a potty. And okay. The Cavalletti, right. it's like rounded. Yeah. It's rounded, so the pole sits in it. So you can, without getting fancy, look, IKEA squatty potties, I'm telling you. But you can put your pole in there and they raise, how would you say, Jacque? Like, I don't know, 6 inches maybe?
I think it's 6 inches, yeah. And for most people, that is enough. Like so many people make ground poles way more complicated than it, because like maybe they went and watched Ingrid Klimke, who's amazing. I mean, I love all of her work, but she does some pretty burly stuff with ground poles that honestly I'm too chicken to do, you know, she does beautiful jumping Cavalletti work. And so sometimes people think that's the only way you can do ground poles. And that's not it at all. The beauty of ground pulls is not just joint flexion for your horse, but because the distances of the poles pre-measure the horse's stride, they help interrupt muscle imbalances. Because if a horse pushes more off its right hind leg, for example, it's going to take a longer step with its left foreleg, right? And mm-hmm. the poles will interrupt that. Like he'll kind of nick the pole once and then he'll correct it next time you come across the pole. So to me, that's the real value, is keeping the gait really pure in all the gates, keeping the footfall really pure. It's kind of like correcting movement patterns, and mm-hmm. six, no higher than 6 inches off the ground is what you want to be doing with the poles.
Right. That makes sense. And so, yeah, so we actually do some, I'm not going to lie. We, you know, Sarah sets them up and then we kind of play around, especially because, you know, again, it's been quite hot. And so sometimes on our hack days to go outside, it's miserable. So when it gets a little warmer in the afternoon, we set them up and we do some walk poles, especially in the horses that don't like to walk. They're really helpful. And, but mm-hmm. I can guarantee I need more of your exercises. That I can tell you for sure. So what do you do?
Yeah, great.
All right. So, and I use them a little bit differently than you guys. And I did just find the IKEA website and I know exactly what you're talking about now. $4 at IKEA, you get a little children's potty and it actually would fit a pole perfectly. So
it's perfect. It's such a cool thing. I'm making an order. Welcome, everyone.
I'm making an order right now. So what I like to use the poles and this sort of, and Cavalettis and this sort of thing to do is to help riders feel what it's like when the horse to gain suspension and to gain the horse's back a little bit better. You know, for all those reasons that Jack said that she uses them, you know, naturally the horse is going to give their rider a little more bounce and a little bit more lift of the legs. And then you can teach the rider, what are we looking for? Right. Because I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of us are, you know, in the beginning, everybody's just looking for that feeling, or, you know, we can describe it as best we can, but you don't know until you get it.
Yeah.
And so once you send the horse over the poles a little bit, and I actually encourage my riders to ride a little bit over. I know a lot of, you can certainly just kind of give the horse their rein and let them, you know, let the horse take you over the poles and that's fine too. But I say, no, let's ride. Let's pretend we're creating Vallegro or Totalus in his passage, and we're going to turn your horse Strawberry into Totalus, and we're going to use the poles to help us. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the rider does it a few times and then they're like, oh, that's suspension, or oh, I really felt the horse lift me up through their back. And I said, yeah. So it just can create some aha moments mm-hmm. without making it too much of a struggle, and just, you know, let the poles help you, let the horse carry you by lifting up its legs a little bit, and then if you want to really make Totalus happen, you can use the potties to lift the poles around, and then the horse has to work a little bit harder. So I think yeah, it's really helpful in just creating those moments and giving the rider a feel of collection, suspension, or extension, you know, without having a struggle for a ride kind of thing. So
I think you're right, and that's a key point, because sometimes when riders learn to feel that, it can feel like a little daunting, like that suspension, like, well, wait a minute, is my horse like actually out of control? And, you know, when you're really mm-hmm. new feeling that, and I think the ground poles are a good way to come at it, because it's almost like this outside aid. You can just sit there and feel it and experience it and enjoy it. And I don't know if you all encounter riders that are a little bit nervous about going over poles, but they usually tell me my horse is nervous. But when we dig into it, it becomes clear that their rider's a little nervous.
Yeah,
so what I usually tell them to do is like, okay, well, don't worry. I'm just going to put a couple poles on the ground and just practice riding around them. Don't cross over them, because I think that's where people get a little nervous until they realize their horse probably is not going to jump the thing. So just practice like making figure eights, like around the poles and riding between two poles that are parallel to each other until they kind of just relax. And then we go over the poles and it's no big deal at all. But that's usually how I suggest people get used to it, if they think their horse is nervous. And sometimes it's really just us that's nervous. either way.
Well, I understand. I mean, I don't love, I'm not a huge jumper. Like I don't like to jump. I got injured as a kid. I don't love it. And so that's probably innately why I don't go to pull them out. But when I pull them out and my horses are like, hey, this is fun. Like, and then I'm like, oh, I get into it a little more. And again, the squatty potties are 6 inches off the ground. Like they are not. And sometimes if I'm nervous, like about putting them up on a young horse, maybe I put one side up, you know, and leave the other side down. So I can, that helps me like that. I'm not actually jumping, but it gives the horse the idea to pick their legs up a little bit more. So I agree. And then for me to just go over them a few times and walk over them and like the horses don't even care. Like they really don't. And I think that's really good. But Jacques, tell me, you know, I think they're also great for fitness or like for a horse that needs maybe a little bit something different, because you can still do your work, but the horses seem to get a little bit excited in a good way. Like, oh, we're doing something different, right? Is that a good way to look at that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the benefits, you're totally right. And what I like to do after a horse has gotten pretty comfy with the standard setups, which is when we just set up poles in a sequence and they kind of take one step in between each pole, then pretty quickly I like to vary the spacing so that they have to kind of pay attention a little bit more. So what Phil was saying, where you get that feeling of suspension going over the pole, is you get that bouncy, swingy, boom, boom, boom. And then you've got a little blank space, maybe 3-4 steps till you get to the next pole, where it's kind of like your muscle memory has to keep creating those steps. But when you start adding kind of different distances, that's where I think the fitness really starts to come in, because the horse really starts to take charge of their own balance. And you're building on the propulsion muscles that you're activating when going over the poles, as well as the balancers and proprioceptors in between when you're not going over the poles. And then for cantering, I'm kind of like you, Reese. I like to keep 4 on the floor all the time.
Yep.
4 on the floor. I do not. But I do like putting poles just on the ground. I don't raise them up, but I'll put, like, if a horse has a really disorganized canter, or let's say it's an older school horse that's gotten just robotic and really kind of flat and shuffly in the canter, what I'll do is I'll put 2 poles on the ground parallel to each other, but like 9 feet apart, which is kind of an average canter stride. And I treat it like a little in and out jumping, which obviously we're not jumping. They're just kind of crossing the first pole, landing on the ground and crossing the second pole. But it has a really amazing effect at getting the horse's canter really lofty. The horses don't get excited about it. I've used that exercise with so many Western horses that are trying to come over to dressage, as well as, like I said, kind of like older, stiffer horses. And it really brightens the canter up a lot. So it really improves that fitness. And nobody's jumping, so I feel good about it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you take it easy and take your time over a few weeks, you can work your way up to doing a little bit of canter, right? You just say one pole on the ground at a time, one day at a time. But it is so beneficial, and all of our dressagers who would maybe call themselves timid riders, I think it's worth doing maybe it's a COVID project or a great summer project if you're not showing and say, listen, I'm going to really give this a go. I'm going to try it. I'm going to take my time with it. And, you know, by the end of August, maybe I can canter over one pole, and maybe I can canter over 2 poles. And I mean, it gives you a goal. It's something to work towards. You know, if you're feeling like a little bit in a rut, you're you know, practicing jumping in quotations or whatever, just doing something completely different. You know, you can maybe put the poles in a paddock and ride in a paddock. I mean, you know, you gotta give some variation here on what you're up to, because I know here at home, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot to be doing. You know, we had a plan. Mm-hmm. COVID caused it to fall through. Now what? Let's do something different. Let's get out of the sandbox a little bit. It's going to help the horses tremendously, because I know for myself, I can't go back into winter training and riding all indoors, having not done any, you know, not been out to a show or done something, you know, out of the box and doing something different. So let's stop schooling patterns and schooling the test that we're hoping to ride, and let's shake it up a little bit.
So, Jack, can you give us some exercises? Do you have any exercises in mind for us? Because you are the master at that. So what are some exercises we can start with?
So, and if listeners are interested, I did launch an online course that kind of leads people through it. So I'll tell you what's in the first kind of where you start with in that course in the walk is what I call the stretch and climb through exercise, where you set up a few poles. And again, just use however many you have. So I'm not going to make this so specific that people are like, I don't have that many poles, I can't do it, right? Like, just use what you have. You set up 3 to 4 poles that are spaced closer together than your horse's normal walk step. So most horses have like a 3-foot walk step. So set up the poles like 2.5 feet. So they're really close together and they're raised off the ground. So those are, you're going to think about those being your collected walk steps. You ride across those poles, and then you have a gap of no poles, maybe 20, 30 feet long. Then you cross over poles that are spaced a little bit wider than your normal walk step. So they're like 3 feet and 3 inches, let's say. So your horse has to extend its walk step. And you can walk, you can do that on the lunge line. You can do it under saddle. You can do it in your warm up. And I usually go across it 20 times. So you're basically having the horse go from collected walk to extended walk, but with very little interference from you. You just have to set them up well to go over the pole, you know? So that's a really, really useful, it's great for, like I say, fixing movement problems, but also just getting the horse flexing his joints and swinging through its back as part of your warm up. So that's a good walk one. And then one of my favorite ones for the trot pole, some people call it the circle of death, but it's really a very valuable exercise. You set up and you can put the poles on the ground or you can raise them. It doesn't really matter. If you visualize your 20-meter circle as a clock face and you put a pole at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, and then you make a 20-meter circle, and you could do this in trot and canter, where you're just crossing over the center of those poles on your 20-meter circle, and if you're riding well, you should have the same number of strides between each pole. So every quadrant of your circle should have this. It's usually between 10 and 13 steps, depending on the size of the horse. So in trot and canter. So this exercise is so good, like Phil was saying, for giving riders a feel. It's so good for getting riders to ride a correct rhythmic balanced gait. But because of the poles, the horse usually kind of perks up and has good energy and is bending his joints more than normal. And you're getting some conditioning effect out of it as well. So those are pretty easy to set up, those two exercises, and really valuable for all riders, all levels, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are fantastic. Well, Jack, those are great ideas, and you have lots more in your books. So how can our listeners find you online and your books? Because you were featured in our book club. Goodness, I can't remember what month, but 55 Corrective Exercises for Horses was one of our book club books last year, I think. But how can our listeners find you online and all your great resources?
Yeah, they can go to my website at jackbaloo.com. And then I do have some videos on YouTube, which is just, you know, my name, Jack Baloo, on the YouTube channel, which talks about some of the spacing and distances between ground poles and stuff, if people want to take a deep dive, a deeper dive anyway. And I hope so, because they're such great training tools.
I love it. They really are. Well, Jack, as always, we'd love it when you come on. Thanks so much for giving us some ideas while we're maybe not horse showing and need some inspiration. So thanks so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Talk to you.
Well, as always, we truly love email and Facebook shout outs. They make my day when I get them, and they make me smile. And you could write us about whatever. Phil and I enjoy it. But it truly, we enjoy the community. And again, the Horse Radio Network auditor page that gets you into the super secret Facebook book group. And we read it as well. So we always love it. Well, as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our website, dressageradio.com. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
The best way to find me is probably on Facebook, or my email is philip@horseradionetwork.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors this week for allowing us to put on a show. And don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Everybody, keep your heels down, your shoulders back, and stay safe and well. And we look forward to talking with you soon.